Tap in, homie, log in. Don't be tripping off the questions I'm asking. Pour a drink, better yet, roll up. Gonna holler at you, boys, we can turn the shit up. Tap in. Tap in, homie, log in. Don't be tripping off the questions I'm asking. Pour a drink, better yet, roll up. Gonna holler at you, boys, we can turn the shit up. Tap in. Talk about the hood, even talk about beef. Politic up on sports, even test out some weed. Even trade conspiracies, get a speak if they need. Only real ones tapping in, that's why they talking to me. Nothing like them other shows, more diverse than the shows. Only real ones in the building, and we can't be ignored. Get the weed, sippy spirits, only real ones spilling. Everything is certified, tapping in with a winner. Tap in. Tap in, homie, log in. Don't be tripping off the questions I'm asking. Pour a drink, better yet, roll up. Gonna holler at you, boys, we can turn the shit up. Tap in. Tap in, homie, log in. Don't be tripping off the questions I'm asking. Pour a drink, better yet, roll up. Gonna holler at you, boys, we can turn the shit up. Tap in.
Holler at your boys. Tap in with Kato, man. Digital soapbox. In a building like the bottom stairs bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Oh yeah, I'm coming to a city near you. Questions I'm asking. I just want to know what they already know or don't know.
Yeah. I gotta get some wiggle ankle on them. My ankles wiggle out here, man. Tap in. And that's on my mind.
Hey, I told y'all the ad-libs be the best part.
Hey.
Right, how y'all doing, man? Tapping in, logging in with Kato, man. I got a special treat for y'all this time. I'm doing a little different. We're gonna showcase other heroes and other influences in the black community besides music and sports. So I got political mayoral candidate of Pasadena, Major Williams, here with me.
What's going on, everyone? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for letting me come on and pick your brain a little bit, man. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know, you know what I'm saying? But he's 41 years old. He's been studying the climate of the political race out here for 4 years. So he coming seasoning in the game. And I read a little of what you're about, family.
Yes.
I know that's at the forefront of your agenda. And,
for sure.
Just give me a little background on yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so family is, of course, my foundation of everything that I do because it gives me my superpower, so to speak. You know, so you have to always have a good foundation, but my background initially is in marketing, so I went to school for marketing at Louisiana Tech University.
Okay.
And over the last 4 years, I've been working in politics, you know, behind the scenes from a marketing perspective, social media perspective. And so during that time, I had the opportunity to be around some of the greatest political minds in the world. Mm-hmm. And so once you get exposed and educated in a certain way, you can't help but to hopefully act upon that and use that knowledge for good and share it with others. So after the last campaign, I decompressed and I was like, what's next for me?
Okay.
And I was looking at the climate of Pasadena. I didn't have any aspirations ever to be like a true politician, but I always was been a leader running nonprofits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something that was like a natural evolution. And I just felt like no candidate that was in the race or could have been in the race that had my same ideology, my vision and ideals to the solutions to the problems that we had here in the city. So I just basically, I used the analogy, I took myself out the stands, jumped on the field, suited up, and I'm trying to affect the game from a player's perspective versus you see people in the stands yelling at everybody on what they should do or what they should have done. And, you know, and I just want to change the narrative, you know?
That's exactly what you're doing. In case you didn't know, he has a sports background.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Get on the hoop. We might have to get him an Obama in a 3-point contest or something. You know, when he get up there.
It's so funny about that. In December, we're doing a fundraiser. So we're doing a very unorthodox. We're doing a fundraiser, but it's an NBA 3-point contest here in Pasadena. So imagine everybody think they got a jump
shot.
Come
on, get a lethal shooter
everybody
up in there.
Everybody think they got a jump shot. So we're doing this. It's $500 for the winner. It's like $25-$30 to enter. Okay. It's going to be like 30 shooters.
Oh,
they're going to be involved. For all adults, it's $5 to get in.
Okay.
For all kids, it's free. We're going to have beverages, drinks, special influences. Hopefully, you'll come out and cover it as well, too.
Definitely come out.
And I'm going to be a part of it, you know, so it's going to be something different. You know, the current mayor's 80. He won't be participating.
And that's why I said earlier, you know what I'm saying, we got somebody changing the narrative, somebody we can look at that's like us, we can relate to. What was it special about Pasadena, about you being from Dallas, Texas? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What was it so special about Pasadena that made you want to get your feet wet?
So the root of all the big decisions that I've had in California all started with a girl. Mm-hmm. When I came to California 20 years ago, I met a girl the third day I moved here, mm-hmm. and I never went back.
What?
My wife was born and raised in, she was born in Altadena, which okay. is right here adjacent to Pasadena.
Yes.
So we were living in L.A. and we were looking for a change because as I was transitioning from entertainment and sports, doing more so of my marketing and entrepreneurship, she moved her small business out here a year before we actually moved out here. Mm-hmm. And so we was coming out here for a whole year and just like getting a, you know, a glimpse of the whole scene. And I was like, man, this place is really nice. It's a different pace from the Hollywood and yeah. Beverly Hills mm-hmm. and the L.A. scene. And I think this would be great for us. And then we had a child. And then it was like, you know what? This would probably be the place for us to raise our kids. And so after we had our first child, we ended up making that leap out to Pasadena. And from there, I just fell in love with the city, the culture of what it represents. And then, you know, once you're a part of any place, you kind of always want to see it do well. Mm-hmm. And my thing is now I see it having so much potential, and I don't feel like we have the right people in place that could actually expand upon that. And I tell everyone, we need a different brand of leadership with a different skill set. It's not about these degrees and being in city government for 20, 30 years. You know, because when they say politics, they typically make us afraid yeah. to go after that. Yeah. And but people don't understand, because I have a marketing background, I message differently. We do politics every single day in our daily lives,
yes.
whether it's at work, whether it's with our relationships, communicating with our kids. Mm-hmm. It's all politics. They just attach that word to it to make it like a scary thing and say that we can't obtain it.
Yeah.
And so I want to break the narrative to say, hey, I've been in multiple industries and now I'm in this political field, and I'm just attaching my my ambition and my competitiveness in this arena. So yeah. I'm using the same blueprint.
Okay, okay.
You know?
And I was told to ask about this by a mutual friend of ours, but he wanted you to elaborate more on your hip-hop background also.
For sure.
You know, a lot of people don't know you worked with No Limit closely.
Right.
Jamie Foxx, Jackie right. Christie. He was on a Basketball Wives. Some of y'all might recognize him on one of those episodes. You know, so yeah. I was going to say, elaborate a little more on that.
So that was one of my passions as far as music. You know, mm-hmm. I was doing sports initially, and I started working with No Limit Sports in Baton Rouge. So mm-hmm. I went to school at Louisiana Tech University. Mm-hmm. So I became friends with Silk the Shocker, Big Ed, and Mr. Servone, and ultimately Master P.
Yeah, the original crew.
Yeah, through the whole sports thing. And I was training one summer with like Ricky Davis from Mercer. P himself, Ricky Davis, all these guys we was training.
P had game for real?
P had game.
P had game.
P had game. You know, he was younger though, too.
Yeah, so yeah. When we first, you know, thought, because he had his hands in so much stuff, we said, man, this is just a publicity stunt. He
right. wasn't
balling until he actually got called up.
Yeah. You know? No, he wasn't Kobe, but.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He worked hard enough to deserve that shot at
That's
least,
right.
and he made history. So just from being around that synergy, and having a musical background as far as interests, I had never done music, but I had an opportunity by being around them so much to like write on a record. And then I was like, oh, okay. And I continued to do it. Okay. And then, so that it just basically, it was organic. It wasn't something I was like looking for a record deal. It's just that through sports, it put me around the right people who exactly. happen to be like moguls yeah. in the music industry.
Yeah.
And it just kind of you know, jumped from there. Jamie Foxx, the same thing, me and his dad, go way back, and me and his sister. His dad was my high school football coach.
Oh,
and okay. history teacher. And me and his sister are like this. We graduated from high school together. Okay. And so when I came to Pasadena, I mean to L.A., the second or third day I was here, I was at Jamie Foxx's house.
Oh yeah.
So this is a 20-year long, you know, relationship. So that was easy.
That's real dope, man. I want to talk about the Eye of Art, your mm-hmm. your studio with your wife, mm-hmm. the business that you guys started together, and I want to let them know about that.
So iHeartArt is an art curriculum company that my wife created probably 8-9 years ago. She started out in a back of a church in Culver City. And she's built it up to a really amazing company where we have now 12 contracted staff members as well. And we're actually active online, and now we're creating art boxes. So there's been an evolution. A couple of years ago, I came on board, you know, she's the owner, first of all.
Okay.
I'm the supporting cast as the marketing director. She hit a point to where, you know, there was a ceiling she hit, and she was frustrated, and I wanted to, of course, jump in and say, hey, maybe we should change it up a little bit. And so I was instrumental into allowing us to land bigger accounts. I said, let's go bigger, more corporate with your services. You've done all these great things. You have all this great talent and people around you. Let's package it and let's get it over to all the senior retirement living homes. So now we're, okay, we're in 12 senior retirement living homes doing the art curriculum for the senior citizens.
Okay.
And we're in two different school districts, LA School District and the Arcadia School District, only because I was able to acknowledge and make people aware of her talent and just package together with the videos and the content of her, and also just her track record of being a great artist. She sold paintings to like some of the biggest people in the world. You know, so I just wanted to make sure that her company continued to be successful if that's what she wants to do.
Perfect.
So iHeartArt.net, go and check it out. It's a great company. She do remote sipping paints and all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sipping paint.
Yes.
Okay. I want to go back into more to your agenda for us. You getting in office. Let's talk a little about the Pasadena Fund.
Mm-hmm. So the Pasadena Fund came out of necessity. It's just basically me doing a lot of discovery throughout the city and talking to a lot of different people. And they're just kind of looking back at the spectrum of what was going on with affordable housing and rent control. Now, I have a different take on it, have a dual perspective when it comes to like rent control and affordable housing. And instead of some people, and I've gotten a little pushback on this, instead of using all your energy to protest the landlord about raising your rent, why don't you partner with someone like myself and we put that energy into making more?
Okay.
And so I have a longstanding history of figuring out how to make more income. And I'm not saying I make millionaires, but I've been able to create successful formulas and tools that people can implement in their daily lives, and they can make more money. Perfect example. I went to a this rent control group,
mm-hmm,
and at this time, this older senior citizen woman, she's on a fixed income. She was crying, basically saying, you know, she's distraught because her rent went up $75. Now, for maybe you or anyone, that may not be like a huge hike, but for somebody that's not working, that's on a fixed income, that adds up, is detrimental. It takes away from anything else that they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So after this meeting, this is a different brand of leadership. When I say a different brand of leadership, so after this meeting, I walk up to her because I notice, you know, she has an iPhone. It's not the newest one, but she has an iPhone. And I asked her a couple simple questions. I said, would it be okay if I show you how to pay the extra $75? She looked at me kind of strange, mm-hmm, right? She said, what do you mean? I said, I want to go on your phone right now and download these couple apps. And if you do these apps, you can actually probably make the money that you need to pay your rent, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's still looking at me funny, but she was reluctant. She reluctantly gave me her phone.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me the phone. I went to the Google store or the App Store, and I found a couple survey apps. I told her, I said, if you spend 3 hours out of 7 days, at least 3 hours out of 7 days doing surveys, you can make an extra $25 a week. It's 4 weeks in a month.
That's that $100.
That's $100. I just helped you make over that, right? Fast forward, this was 4 months ago. She's making close to $400 a month right now. Because she's just at home.
She's just at home.
Relaxing on the couch. She sent me the longest, most amazing thank you letter I've ever had in my life.
Wow. Wow.
And so the point of that is, and I know it's not like a whole lot of money, but if you were to ask the current mayor, what do you think about that story? He said, oh, that's great, but that's not our job. That's not our role.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between leadership back then in 2019 and moving forward is that we need someone to operate outside of the black and white definition of what the mayor role and title is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way we get there, to empower each other. And so, mind you, that's a small philosophy, but I can do that on a larger scale now because I have leverage and I'm on a larger platform. So people can be able to receive that message. And that's what I'm fighting for.
And that's why you call yourself a different kind of candidate.
A different kind of candidate, 100%.
All right. And that's economic inclusion.
Absolutely.
You know.
Because I want to partner with them. Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to run the city. I'm trying to partner with you.
Partner with the city. What new opportunities can you provide with Pasadena that they don't obtain now?
Well, coming back full circle to the Pasadena Fund.
Yeah.
The Pasadena Fund is basically, it's a combination of a capital venture fund and a crowdfunding fund all put together.
Okay.
It's not anything new. I'm not a genius. I'm just pulling from other successful models and I'm blending it and I'm putting a title on top of it. So when I use this example, the benefit of the Pasadena Fund is going to bring empowerment. How is it going to bring empowerment? So if it's 3,000 people that come on board, right? And we have over 140,000 people, but let's just shoot low. If we have 3,000 people that participate out the gate in the Pasadena Fund, the obligation is $20 over the next 15 months. After 15 months, those 3,000 people have access to a pot of money close to $1 million. It's $900,000. 15 months. So mind you, if you break that down for the individual person, that's $300. Nowhere in America can you invest $300 and be part of something that's worth close to $1 million. Yeah. It doesn't happen that way. Yeah. It doesn't exist. So ultimately, so now you have this pop, and it has two flexible functions. The Pasadena Fund has two flexible functions. One of them, if you came to me, if you had been contributing, I don't say investing, if you've been contributing to the fund for 15 months, and now it's active, and you came to me, say for instance, if you saw like a property in Detroit somewhere, right? It's dilapidated, but you see that people are investing because they're going to start building up a certain area, so it's an opportunity to flip a property, right?
Yeah.
So $15,000 to get the house, another $15,000 to pick it up. You know, to fix it up. Maybe you don't have that liquid capital on hand off the bat, but you come to the fund, now that you're a member, the fund will partner with you on that investment and say, hey, okay, we see it's a viable asset. We'll do the research like any other bank or anyone else because we don't want the asset, you know, the fund lose money. But if we deem it something that's positive that we can make money off of, we say, you know what, we're going to give you 100% of the money. That's 30 grand. Now, say for instance, you flip it for like 3 times or 4 times that, which you will. Right? The fund gets 70% of those funds.
Yeah.
You get 30% of those funds. The beautiful part about that 30%, it's more than enough for you to go and duplicate the process now by yourself, without the fund. What did we just do?
So it's also teaching it.
We just made the low-income, middle-class family that's been struggling check for check, we made them owners and landlords just from this affiliation with this type of fund. That's true empowerment. That's true partnership. And mind you, that's just the base of it. It could grow into so many other ideals, and it can be as creative as we possibly can.
That was one of the main things that caught my eye when I seen the 70-30 ratio as far as the partnership. I was like, okay,
yeah,
that's a real idea. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's a real idea that has exact results. The results like right now, not in the future.
Right.
And
it's something that's already been done. I'm not professing to be a genius with this. Mm-hmm. I'm only taking from successful transactions that has already occurred. And real quick. Remember I said it's two flexible parts. The other part is, in your neighborhoods, now you have an opportunity to gentrify your own community.
Yeah.
So when they want to bring that new Chick-fil-A there, now you can fight back, say, no, we don't want the outside foreigner to come and build the Chick-fil-A. We want to build the Chick-fil-A. And why would we as a city fight that? Mm-hmm. So now you have 3,000 people who have ownership in a Chick-fil-A and other businesses, and they're getting dividends every other month or every month or whatever, however it's set up. So we've created passive income,
and then
it's just copy and paste because the fund is going to continue to grow through the investments.
And the ideas will continue to grow because the more people involved, the more people are learning.
Exactly. So my theory is this. In 5 years, that fund could be worth $500 million. $500 million.
Got a candidate with a plan. Another thing I want to touch on because I know a lot of the people want to know, what is your stance on the legal marijuana businesses and how the minorities are kind of getting pushed out of actually being involved, even though a lot of blacks and Latinos have been suffering and going to jail and for extended amounts of time over the same crop that's now going to be funding these cities and these states.
Right.
And what is your stance on that far as how we can equal the playing field where a lot of minorities get a better chance to actually have ownership in the medical marijuana field?
So we are in a unique situation here in Pasadena because, they're trying to wrap their arms around what kind of legislation or, or regulation, should I say, should they put on top of that. And for us, it's one of those things where they're pushing out the small vendors and they're trying to bring in more corporate vendors that, they have more access to.
Yeah.
And, I've been asked this question a lot lately, though. Like, I support business owners. I support entrepreneurship. I feel like the dispensaries fall under the same category as someone being entrepreneurial.
Yes.
But I also think that the laws and regulations should change. If someone is actually serving crime right now for an actual marijuana case or having joints or something, and this is something that's openly illegal now, I think that something needs to be changed.
It has to be revisited.
It has to be revisited. But it's something where we know it's a lot of revenue. Mm-hmm. It's something that's taxable. That's why the city should be more excited about it. Yes. But you also want to be careful about if you drink too much water, you can die.
Hey, right? Yeah, that's an example I use with my kids.
Right. You know, so, you know, there still has to be limits. There still has to be structure.
Yes.
And we have to pace ourselves. This is a new area for everyone. And no one is a complete expert. Because I can be saying something right now, I may have to retract later on because we're still doing a lot of discovery and learning more about the effects of it. And once we do, we'll be able to make better decisions based upon that. But I support entrepreneurship with the dispensary companies.
Okay, let's talk a little. Let's switch it up since we're talking about the kids a little bit. Let's talk about the Fly Kicks for Kids charity.
So I've been working with nonprofits for over like 15 years. Mm-hmm. Indirectly, I've been giving away clothes, shoes, helping out a lot of different kids.
Nice shoes.
Because I used to work for a nonprofit called Erickson Mental Health in Van Nuys. And a couple of years ago, a good friend of mine named Daryl Borkin, which is an ex-NFL player, he's been following me on social media. We're good buddies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, we should form something legit. Like a nonprofit and make this like something, you know, make it bigger than life. Mm-hmm. And so we did that. And it was just for me just doing it already, someone taking notice of it. And I said, hey, let's form this company and let's make it real. And so the premise of it is just give away 1,000 pair of shoes a year to underprivileged kids, academically excelling youth.
Yeah.
And just use that as a tool to be a resource for the kids. And the shoes are the bridge. Yeah. For us to be able to get to them. Because you remember how it is when you get a new pair of shoes.
Come on, man.
Or a fresh cut, right?
Come on, you look at the side. Right?
Exactly. So we wanted to, and that was the emotions that I remember that allowed me to connect in certain ways. And I want to, like, just make it a tool now to be able to have a conversation with the kids. And then address, what do you want to do with yourself? What are your goals? What are your ambitions? And hopefully, if we don't have the answers or the resources, we know plenty of people who we'll be able to direct them to. Mm-hmm. And that was the premise of it. It's not like a big elaborate scheme. It's just to be able to give back and put a smile on kids' faces. Because I remember when adults did nice things for me when I was younger, man. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it, and I still remember it to this day.
Ain't nothing like some Fly Kicks, man.
Man.
You know.
And, you know, I want to say a shout out to Barney Waters, which is the president of K-Swiss. He's been very instrumental in helping us out with a lot of kicks. So I always, you know, want to shout them out.
I got on your shoes right now, Bernie. I got on some K-Swiss, nice light ones you made.
Yes.
This is another thing I want to tap on, which is very important. Now I want to make sure it's at the meat of this interview, but I was looking at, excuse me if I say it wrong. Mm-hmm. Is that the BL Exit Movement?
Oh, Blexit.
Blexit.
Blexit. Yeah.
Okay. That's Blacks
exiting the Democrat Party.
And that's, the Latino and Black folk voters are spreading liberal allegiances.
Right.
And I thought that was eye-catching, and that kind of stood out to me. And I definitely want you to elaborate that and educate them on that, because a lot of people get so caught up in just thinking, you know, you Black, so you got to be Democrat.
Right.
Right. Black, you white, you got to be. No, it's right and wrong what makes sense.
Right.
So I definitely want you to have that at the meat of this.
For sure. So Blexit was founded by Candace Owens and also co-founded by Brandon Tatum, which are really good friends and allies of mine. And I became aware of it more so.
Is that the Candace Owens that was just on the Revolt with Tyrese?
Yeah.
Very educated.
Yeah. So that's a good friend of mine.
Okay.
And so she's the founder of Blexit. And I spoke at the first Blexit rally here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And the premise of it, as I said, it's Blacks exiting the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. Simply because, and it's also... And it's not to become a Republican. It's not to do anything. It's just saying, hey, look at the information. We're going to provide it for you. Make a decision on if this works for you. Because what we discovered, and even me, I was a lifelong Democrat just by default. My grandmother, grandfather, my mother. Yeah. My mother still lives, right?
Yeah.
But I wasn't given the opportunity to dive into the understanding of certain policies that affected my community directly. For decades and decades. And then once you actually process that, and maybe some people process that and they're okay with that, and I don't judge it, but at least I allowed you to get informed on it. Yeah. And so that's what the whole Blexit movement is about. It's about identifying what the problems are, what the problems have been, and allowing you to just think freely for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's like you said, it's okay for, like I said, my mom is a Democrat. We don't agree on everything 100%. Mm-hmm. But my mom loves me to death. She doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me on what party I'm at, because she knows the root of my genuineness and my heart. And it's about just, you know, Blexit is really about being a free thinker.
Being a free thinker.
Not being a victim. Not trying to rely on the government. And it's saying just work hard. Figure things out. Pull your boots up, as they say.
By your bootstraps.
By your bootstraps. Mm-hmm. And just go to work and stop. You know, just don't be a victim. That's what mm-hmm. it's mainly about. Don't be a victim. And we know that there are things that are out there.
Yeah.
That could potentially harm or hurt us and hold us back. But if you put your energy into just focusing on those things, it's going to do exactly what you think that it's supposed to do to you. Because sometimes it can become psychological.
Yes.
But if you only focus on what you can do and what you can control, you will find yourself 10 years from now in a really amazing place.
And I really do think that it's important that we educate ourselves on both sides of the coin before we decide to flip it and just pick heads or pick tails so fast.
Right.
A lot of us sometimes is going to blind on the ballot just because grandma's doing this.
Right.
Father's doing this. Mother's doing this. When it's a different dialogue that's going on right now from what our mothers and grandparents are going to have to go through. And I think it's very important that transparency is exercise. And yeah. I know you're big on transparency.
There was a guy that, you know, he wrote something and he said, you know, I'm not going to vote for this guy just because he's black. I said, okay, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're not going to vote for me, I would like for you to align the ideals that I have mm-hmm. on why you're not going to vote for me.
Okay.
Right? Because I think that we get aligned to go against each other by default. Right. And it's only because I'm a Republican. I don't hide that. I'm mm-hmm. very transparent, but I recognize that this is a nonpartisan race.
Yes.
This really isn't about that, because I'm a little more polarizing than the average person in the mm-hmm. local race. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring that up. And I'm just telling people, tear me down for me and the ideals and my track record. Mm-hmm. Don't just tear me down because you're trying to align me with Trump and the Republican Party, et cetera, because you just blindly hate this person or this particular party. It still comes down to local government. That's where the change happens.
And a lot of ideals get lost in that shuffle.
It does.
In that blinds.
It does.
Type of thing. One of my favorite quotes by you was, "The voices of the unheard will no longer be mute on my watch."
Absolutely. I agree.
Sounds like you're ready to fight for us. That's what I got out of it.
I agree. 100%. And I stand on that. I think it's very important for us to have a kind of leadership, like you said, transparency. I get over 100 text messages a day. This, the kind of campaign that I'm running, no one has ever ran before. You know why? Because I've been studying every candidate
mm-hmm.
all the since 2015. I've studied every debate. I'm a savant. I'm a studier. Mm-hmm. I observe. I'm very patient. I'm very strategic. And that's why I come into this very confident. So when other people on the outside looking in was like, "I dare you, the audacity of you, what are your qualifications, the nerve of you," I'm saying, why not me?
Why not?
Have you had the opportunity to speak with me? Have you had the opportunity to bring me your issue and allow me to break it down so we can actually come up with a solution for it? And so what happened in my last Meet the Candidate forum, which was packed out,
mm-hmm.
right? It was packed out. I had Democrats come, Republicans come. A couple of them in there was like, came there to really try to like tear me down. They end up holding my sign saying that they support me. Why? Because I know how to solve your problem. And no one that's there now is willing to do that.
I'm telling y'all, he said, if y'all ready to challenge him, you better get your black coffee, because this is the black coffee warrior, and he will address you.
Absolutely. And we have the next, I don't know when this video is going to come out, but we have the next Meet the Candidate tomorrow.
Okay.
Here in Pasadena, it's going to be at the stand off of El Molino across from the Pasadena Playhouse. And once more, a lot of people are RSVPing. And, you know, and that's where we're engaging. I also announced 2 weeks ago that I'm not doing any debates. And everybody's like, "Oh, he's not doing debates."
Oh, they want to see you perform now.
Right. So I said, my debates are I produce my own forums. I don't want a moderator asking questions and y'all in there watching us like fish in a tank. I want to connect with only the voters. I don't want to share the stage with anyone else.
Yeah.
I've built up this. I've been running since March 2018. I've put in the work. So even new candidates that just came in over the last 11 days, I'm not getting on the same stage with them. They haven't worked as hard as I've worked.
They have work to do, too.
You know, they got work to do. So I'm going to create my own outlets for people to be able to get in front of me and ask me their questions.
This is very important too. People would love you to know your stand on this. And the first thing you would do to change the narrative with the relationship between minorities and law enforcement?
Man, connect with them. Chief Sanchez, Chief Perez, that's here. I've already met with him several times. And I've met with the founder of Black Lives Matter. Her name is Jasmine Abdullah as well. Okay. And I'm taking input from both sides on how we can better foster a better relationship. And one of the things that came up is a community board that worked very closely with the police department and their board as well, too. So it's going to take multiple layers to render that relationship because psychologically it's just in a different place. Even if you get a car come behind you, think about it. Even me being as clean as you possibly can get, I remember at times my heart would flutter a little bit, right? Because not just here, just from the national aura of what policing is and the depiction of it through the social media. But what I found out by befriending the police officers over the last year and having some really good friends in the department, they're just as scared as us, you know? Yeah. And so it's just looking at it from a dual perspective, but how do we convey that message to everyone just sort of to resonate with that? And we're working on that already now. And I don't even have to be the mayor to do that. And that's something I want to do, win, lose, or draw.
Yeah.
Is to help that narrative.
That's very important.
You know, just increasing the engagement and conversation and just let these people are human beings. But we're also trying to be an advocate here to make more local people enroll.
Need them involved.
We need local police officers that live here, and that's one of the disconnect too. Because some of them, they don't live here.
Yeah,
so they don't have the connection on how to interact. They know Larry crazy. Mm-hmm. They know Larry just tripping. He ain't crazy, but Larry just be talking trash. Mm-hmm. But someone that doesn't know that, they can get up, you know, in an uproar and think it's something escalate into something else.
Larry shot down.
But if Daryl, that grew up here, been knowing Larry for 20-30 years, he just know that, come on,
and
man,
that is
relax.
That is very important. I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. You got a lot of our law enforcement, but they drive away to Kern County to go to sleep. They drive away to Simi Valley, but they come into Normandy's. They come into Colorado streets to regulate, and they don't know the temperature of the community. Yeah. They don't have a certain feel, which is very important. If we had 5-6 youth in a building, and they was kind of in limbo of what they want to do, like hip hop, sports. How would you influence somebody young to want to curve itself into politics to help you change the narrative, to get more Major Williams out there?
I would just detail them the importance of, you know, their energy, their ideals, and let them know that they're important. And to let them know that this political process, it really is about the people if you get the right people running the political process. And so you have to be able to teach in different ways in this day and time. So you have to use really great examples.
Yeah.
And we have to start with examples like people actually doing it so you can pull from it, which is why I'm putting myself out there on a pedestal. Not on the pedestal, but put myself out there in the light so people can actually see it, win, lose, or draw. And I'm taking all the slack from all different angles, but I'm built for it.
Yeah.
And I surprise a lot of people because I'm from multiple industries, you know, sports, you get told no, you get let down, you take losses, it's hard work, and entertainment, you take losses, no's, auditions, you get no's. I'm built for it. So I just want to be a beacon to be able to bridge that gap though. But I would tell them just to go for it, man. It's a great opportunity. But it gives you an opportunity to be able to help other people.
Yeah, because, you know, we got a lot of brothers and sisters out there from the urban community are more educated than they're giving themselves opportunities to exuberate. And it's like I told one of my kids, smart is the new gangster.
Absolutely.
You know 100%. What I'm saying? And it's like some of us got to learn how to stop hiding our talents and our intelligence and put that at the forefront than just thinking we have to entertain, thinking we have to, you know, poot and giggle, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And one real urban example of that is Nipsey Hussle.
I love
which
Nipsey.
Has inspired all of us on different levels other than the music. But what does Nipsey's legacy mean to you?
It means everything because he was for a lot of people, he was the first voice of entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
You know, thinking for yourself, being independent, standing on your own. Mm-hmm. And really going after your dreams and just, you know, having goals to your dreams. He didn't preach overnight success. That's
patience.
What I like about him.
Yeah.
That, you know, it was a lot of patience. There was a lot of due diligence when it came to executing his goals and plans. And, you know, his body of work, his human self showed you his blueprint.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, the cherry on top was him being able to verbalize it to you on mm-hmm. so many different platforms in so many different ways. If you had a personal conversation with him, I saw Nipsey downtown. We were at a cryptocurrency meetup and Nipsey walked in by himself. You know, I think he showed up by himself. I'll never forget, he had on his yellow sweater, and we was right in the hallway. It was like a movie out of a movie at the same time. And didn't know me from a can of paint. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was excited to meet him for the first time. Yeah. He just embraced me, gave me a strong hug and handshake. Yeah. And throughout the night, we, you know, kept giving each other acknowledgement or whatever. But that one instance, just imagine he did that with so many different people.
Yeah.
And what that does for someone's aura, to know that they had that kind of love for somebody that they looked up to like that.
Exactly.
You know, so I think he meant a lot, and he still means even more to people with his passing. So he's definitely a blueprint for any and everyone to follow.
Exactly. The marathon continues.
The marathon continues.
You know, man, I'm so glad you sat down with me, man, because these are messages and these are ideals that need to be put out there, and they need to be available to some people that's not looking to know about politics, not looking to get into politics, not looking to do history and homework on candidates from whatever city.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We need to understand the kind of leaders that we can cheat ourselves out of by not being involved, and the kind of leaders we could be blessed with by being involved.
And think about this too, though. This could be fun. I'm having the most fun that I've ever had in my life. Right. You know, when you think of politics, you think you have to be just like this. Mm-hmm. It's just boring and stale.
They just think of gray suits.
There is a tradition that comes with it, but it's about those individuals. I didn't adopt that. I'm a hybrid. I'm a combination of everybody. I'm a combination of this person and this person and this person. And I have fun with it. Mm-hmm. You can tell my campaign is different. Look on my wall. Like, no one is doing this. I'm at the Rose Bowl. I'm passing out waters. I have my own lip chap. You know, I'm giving people a lip chap. Like, we're doing all kind of stuff.
Keep me uncrusty.
Yeah, keep me uncrusty, man. We got to have it. Let me show you. We got the major for mayor.
Major for mayor.
Lip chap. So we're just doing it unorthodox in a different way, and we're just really connecting with people. And I tell people, this is an amazing opportunity. The current mayor is a 75-year-old white guy.
Yeah.
The white doesn't matter. But his impact level was very low. Mm-hmm. But he also won with only 8,000 votes in a city that has 84,000 registered voters.
Wow.
And so only 15,000 people came out to actually vote. And 18 to 44-year-olds didn't even feel compelled to come out and vote statistically.
Well, we're going
to
change
that. And we're going to change that here in the city.
It's going to get you about 2,000 to 3,000 more votes. And even if you're not voting for major, just get involved.
Yeah, get involved.
Get in the habit of getting involved, because It's us to start coming to grab our voice now. Everybody can't talk for us. We need to grab our own voice. And I'm going to let you get out here with some closing statements, information and everything from your sites and stuff.
For sure.
Where to find the art studio also.
Yes. So once more, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can continue to follow me on all of my social media. It's basically Major for Mayor. My website is majorformayor.com. You can also donate to the campaign. It can be $1, it can be $5, it can be $10. One of the things that I've been pushing, if you really want to push these kind of candidates like myself out there, don't get intimidated when you hear the word donate. I promise you, $5 goes a very, very long way, because it's about quantity. And if we get 1,000 to 5,000 people giving $5, my campaign is funded. So your $5 really matter. And you can donate directly through the website. And the best part about it, you can be here or not be here. You can always text me if you have questions about entrepreneurship, small business development, marketing, and just anything. So the number is 626-623-3753. That's 626-623-3753. I'm totally accessible. Like I said, I get emails every single day, and I'm for the people. I'm with the people. I'm not running for mayor to run the city. I'm running for mayor to actually be with the people and to uplift the people and to empower the people and to partner with them. And my name is Major Williams. I'm running for mayor of Pasadena. It's time for a new brand of leadership and a leader with a new skill set.
And you forgot what time it is. It's time to think major. On Tap In, man. That's all we're doing on Tap In with Cato for you, man. Appreciate y'all giving me your time. I'm going to let y'all sit on that information. Holler at Major. Ain't no candidates giving up their real number. And if y'all want to challenge him on the issues, he's down to have that black coffee with you and get it in.
Absolutely, 100%.
All right.
Peace. God bless you guys.
Hello, everyone. My name is Major Williams, Mayor of candidate of Pasadena. You can catch me on Tapping In with Cato.
Oh, my mama.